flipping through the Bible is because we had a family situation that hit me and my wife last night concerning one of our kids, and I'm going to tell you that racism is still in effect in America. Thank you for the amen. Only the black people are saying amen, because us white people don't know what it's like to be black. But having black children, I'm learning firsthand that what it's like to have racism prevalent in America. And people can look at my son and say he's, both of them, they can look at both of my children and say, well, they're just as much white as they are black. And that's true, they are. But when they walk into a store, people don't see them as a white kid. They see them as a black kid because of the color of their skin. And it's just sad to see that. It's not as bad as it was, Brother Willie, but it's still out there. And you probably deal with it more than I do, because I'm not black, but it's still out there. So that's what hit our life last night. We had to go deal with a situation and didn't get home till 4 o'clock in the morning. People probably thought my wife and I had a disagreement or an argument, but we did not. It actually has to deal with our kids. If the enemy knows how to get to us, he's going to try to get to us. Me personally, he's going to try to use my wife to discourage me. He's going to use my kids to discourage me. And I don't let them discourage me. I look to Jesus. And we all have to learn to look to Jesus no matter what situation, no matter what hits us. We have to raise the shield of faith, and we have to look to Jesus. Well, what happened, Brother Sean? Well, I'm not going into that. I'm just telling you that if you wonder why you got a child that's half black and half white, and they go into a store, the security guards don't see them as a white child. They see them as a black child, and maybe that'll help us white folks understand that. And I'm learning a lot having black children. I'm learning how to deal with things, and I'm also trying to teach my family that, yes, it's in America, but we have an obligation, because we're Christians, to forgive no matter how hard it is. And that's easier for me to say because I am, and my son's not a Christian yet, but we're praying for him to become a Christian. But it's in America, and we're praying. Oh, it's against the church too, so people don't like Christians. People don't like Muslims. We're racist against certain doctrinal issues. We are. I mean, let's just face it. We are. We don't believe in one saved, always saved. So, in a sense, we're racist to that. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I did. But Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this night. I want to thank you for your word. Father, I want to lift up Kim's husband to you, John. She said this morning he was sick, and I didn't get a chance to tell Brother Venable, but Father, I lift him up to you right now in Jesus' name, and I ask you to heal him. I ask you to touch him. I ask you to save him and deliver him, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, as your word comes forth tonight, let it come through my lips as the very oracles of God, Father. I come as a man that's so dependent on you, Father, and I thank you and I praise you for this night, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I depend on the Lord. I need the Lord. People ask me, Sean, Brother Sean, how do you get through some of the things you get through? I run to Jesus. I run to the Lord, because without Him, I'm not going to make it. I don't run. There are some things my parents don't know that I walk through because I run to Jesus. And see, we have to learn to, there's nothing wrong with going to your parents about certain things or going to a fellow brother and sister in Christ, but there are some things that only God can do for you. There are some valleys you're going to walk through that nobody can walk through with you except for Jesus. He's the one that the footstep that you need to see walking in the sand is Him carrying you as you learn to lean on Him and as you learn to trust Him. Why is it that we can trust carnal flesh and some relatives, and we can't trust the very God that died for us, and the very God that saved us, and the very God that delivered us? And God wants us to trust Him with everything and every care that's in our life, because He loves us. So if you have your Bibles, will you please turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I just want to talk about looking to Jesus and the coming of the Lord, because Jesus is coming soon. Despite what's going on in the world, Jesus is coming. We've got wars and rumors of wars. We've got catastrophic events that are happening, and Jesus is coming soon. And the Bible says, to them that look, He shall appear. And the problem with many Christians is we're so distracted by other things, we're not looking for the coming of the Lord. But Jesus is coming, my brother and sister. And God wants us to look to Him for our peace, for our joy, for our provision, for everything in our life. God wants us to look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He started this faith for us. He drew us by His very Spirit. He called us unto salvation, and He's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God began that work in you, and God is going to perfect it in you. All you need to do is be willing and be surrendered to Him, and God is going to pull you through. And God is going to pull you out of the pit that you're in right now, in Jesus' name. You might be discouraged, you might be battered, you might be beaten, but God is faithful to deliver His people. God is faithful. If He delivered Daniel in the lion's den, my brother and sister, He'll deliver you, because the Bible says that He's no respecter of persons. Amen. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I want to stop right there, and I want to go back to let us lay aside every weight. Anything that's in your life that weights you down, That troubles you, that gets in the way of you serving God, you need to put it aside. And you need to ask God how to put that thing aside so that you can just give everything to the Lord, so you're free to serve your God. There are things that are going to touch you. There are things that are going to trouble you. But God is faithful to deliver you if you just look to Him. Yeah. And the sin which does so easily beset you. There is a sin in not looking to Jesus. Oh, thank you for the one amen. When the Bible says look to Jesus, and we look to other sources, and we look to people, or we look to relatives instead of looking to Jesus, we're in fact saying that those people have more weight in our lives than our Lord and Savior. They have more clout in our lives than God Almighty. And God Almighty needs to be the one that has clout in our life. God Almighty needs to be the one that we look to for everything. That doesn't mean that there aren't people that can't help you and give you a word that is fitly spoken in season. But there are some valleys that we are going to walk through, and some tribulations and some trials that we are going to go through, that only the Lord God Almighty can deliver us from and can help us with. There are depressions that only God can heal you of. There are hurt. There are people's hearts that hurt that only God can heal. That's why God wants us to look to Him. And the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such a great contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. For consider Him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The Bible says that in the last days, the enemy is going to try to wear down the saints. And believe me, if he can try to wear us down, he's going to wear us down. He's going to have us going here and going there and going everywhere, but going on our knees in prayer. Because it's on our knees in prayer that we're looking to Jesus. It's on our knees in prayer that we're getting the strength, we're getting the joy, and we're getting the sustenance that we need from God Almighty. That is why we need to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because we can look everywhere else, and we're not going to find the satisfaction, we're not going to find the joy, and we're not going to find the answers that we need unless we look to Jesus. Amen. Well, Brother Sean, I'm looking for an answer. Are you looking to Jesus? Put up that 10 top bestseller book and look to Jesus. There are men of God that have books out there that are okay, but there's nothing like getting a word from God. One word from God will change every situation in your life. One spoken word of God will change every situation in your life and everything that touches your life. I'm going to read that in the Amplified because I've got it right beside me. And sometimes I just personally like the Amplified. I'm going to start in verse 1. Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily defeatly and cleverly clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive of our belief and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. You have not yet struggled and fought ignorantly against sin, nor have you yet resisted and withstood to the point of pouring out your own blood. And have you completely forgotten the divine word of appeal and encouragement in which you are reasoned with and addressed as sons? My son, do not think lightly or scorn to submit to the correction and discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage and give up and faint when you are reproved and corrected by him. For the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone whom he loves, and he punishes and he even scourges every son who he accepts and welcomes to his heart and cherishes. My brother and sister, we must not let the distractions that come our way, because it seems like it this year, distractions have tried to come in every way they can in my own life and in my own home. And I know that they've tried to come in. It doesn't matter what the distraction might be. If it distracts you from reading and praying and seeking your God, it's a distraction, and you need to deal with it as a child of God, and you need to accept responsibility, and you need to accept ownership and say, I have been distracted, and I need, and God's going to give you his grace, and God's going to give you the comfort that you need. But you have to determine in your heart to put the distractions away and look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. I don't care if you're on the way to a doctor's appointment. You can pray on the way to the doctor's appointment and get the mind of the Lord and look to Jesus, and Jesus can change the situation. We need to go into our prayer closets. Yes, we do. But I believe your prayer closet can be behind the wheel of your car driving on the way to work if it needs to be. Because God lives inside each and every one of us. And he's right there. And as long as we acknowledge him, he's going to be there. God is going to be there. But see, we don't like looking to Jesus necessarily, because Jesus don't always give us the answer that we want to hear. He might tell us yes, he might tell us no, and he might tell us to wait, which is 90% of what he tells most Christians. And we have a problem with waiting, and we have a problem with patience. But he's an on-time God. And as long as we're looking to him, our hearts don't get heavy. They don't get broken, and they don't hurt. Oh, thank you for the amen. It's when we look away from him that they get hurt and they get broken. That doesn't mean pain's not going to come your way. That doesn't mean your heart's not going to feel sorrowful. But it's that sorrowful and it's that pain that you take to the Lord, because you're looking to Jesus and you give it to him and you say, Lord, I can't bear this pain. I can't bear this burden. So Lord, I give it to you. I cast this care upon the Lord because he cares for us. See, there are some things we can't carry, my brother and sister. And there are some things we just need to give to the Lord. And we need to look unto Jesus for every situation in our life. It's in that looking that he's going to appear. And he's going to manifest in the situation. And he's going to manifest in the circumstance as long as we're looking. It's when we're not looking that he can't manifest and he can't appear and he can't show himself strong on our behalf, to where we say, who has a God like our God? Because we're not looking unto Jesus like we need to. It's important that we look to Jesus. We can't make it in this last days without looking to Jesus. We've got to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. To them that look, he shall appear. The problem is we're looking at other things instead of looking right at the face of our master, or right at the feet of our master. When Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and Martha was cumbered about and worried, Mary had something that couldn't be taken away from her. But Martha did. And we need Marthas in the church, and there are things that we have to do. But you can sit at the feet of Jesus on the way to some of the appointments that we have to go to by just putting on some worship music and just saying, Lord, I long to be in your presence. It's more of a heart thing than anything. And I believe there are people in this room tonight that have a heart to want to look to Jesus more than sometimes that we do. And we get distracted, but God wants us to come back and not let the cares of this life come in and choke the word, or not get cumbered about with so many circumstances that we look to Jesus. Because He's the only source of happiness. He's the only source of joy that's going to fulfill us. He's the only one that can help us when we got to go through some of the doctor's appointments that we have to go to. He's the only one that can be there with us. He's the only one that can heal us. And He's the only one that can deliver us. God is good. And we need to look to Jesus. I'm not going to read that. I want you to be encouraged, my brother and sister. God loves you so much. If you could understand the love of God. When you're at home and you get distracted, it's when you come here and you wonder, why when I go? Because there's an anointing here. There's a corporate anointing here that when we get here, it seems like all the weights and all the cares are lifted. It's like God comes in and He just lifts them off of us because He knows that He needs to speak to our hearts. And He knows He needs to speak to our minds. Because in this world, we're going to have tribulation. In this world, we're going to have trouble. But He said, be of good courage. I've overcome the world. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. God is greater inside you than the circumstances and the problems that you're going through. And God wants you to look to Him. The problem is we look to other things and other sources instead of looking to Jesus. And we need to look to Him. And we need to grow up enough in God and say, you know what? I have looked to other sources. This isn't a condemning message. This is a message for us to realize that, yes, we do look to other things. We try to find other ways to get answers to the problems and the circumstances that we go through. But my brother and sister, there is no other answer than Jesus that can fix the solution and fix the problem. Jesus is the solution to our problems. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is still the answer for the world and the church today. Amen. Jesus is still the answer for you and for me and our situation today. God is so wonderful. God is so wonderful. I lost my place, but that's okay. God will take me back to it. Maybe He doesn't want me to read it, so I'm just going to wait on Him. God wants us to just look to Jesus. Amen. God wants us to just look to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. See, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God. We need to be looking for Jesus to appear. There's a day coming, and we don't know the hour, we don't know the time, and we don't know the day, but Jesus is coming back for His church again. Jesus is going to come. There is a heaven, and there is a hell, my brother and sister. And Jesus is coming back for His church. He's going to split the eastern sky. There's going to be a trump of God. And we which are alive are going to be caught up in the air. And we're going to meet the dead in Christ in the air with the Lord to forever be with Him. So it's important that we look to Jesus, my brother and sister, so that we're not distracted when the trump of God sounds. So that we're not letting the cares of this life choke the word, so that you and I can't grow, so that we can't make it in the last days. The enemy is trying to wear us down and try to put as much pressure on us as he can. But he is a defeated foe. He is a defeated foe. And he wants God wants you to realize that greater is He that is in you. You have more potential inside of you than you realize, my brother and sister. The very God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lives on the inside of you. And the enemy wants to try to discourage you and distract you and lie to you and say, oh, there ain't no God inside of you, but He is a liar and a maligner. There is a God that lives on the inside of each and every one of you that's in the sound of my voice and in this church tonight. God lives on the inside of you. And the Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You can make it, and you can make a difference. I'm looking at people that can make a difference in their families' lives. Yes, those family members that ridicule you and lambast you, yes, believe it or not, they're watching you. They're watching to see what you're going to do, how you're going to handle the pressure and the situation. And it's when we run to God and say, you know what? I can't make it on my own. I'll fall apart. But I'm looking to Jesus to change the circumstance in the situation. Forgiveness is a way of life. Believe me, you. There are things that people have said about my son that I have had to say, honey, we're going to forgive. That doesn't mean I'm not going to stand up for my son. I'm not going to protect my son. But I'm going to forgive because the Bible says to forgive. Even though my flesh feels like going and knocking a few heads off, I'm going to forgive because the Bible says that I've got to forgive for Christ's sake and for my own. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not easy when someone talks about your children to forgive them. Thank you for the amen. But guess what? My wife and I are learning how to do that. And it's not easy because I would rather go kick somebody's teeth in than forgive them. I'm just being honest. I know y'all are more spiritual than I am, and y'all wouldn't want to do that. Y'all would rather just forgive them than go kick their teeth in. So I have to ask God every time something like that happens. And even today when I was at home before I took a little nap, before I came to minister tonight, because I only got about 2 hours sleep last night. But God is always faithful. I had to deal with a situation, and I had to say, look, my son... don't hold a gun to your son's head to do any wrong choices. It's amazing how parents want to blame the other children. I says, look, my son don't hold a gun to anybody's head. These kids choose to do the choices they make. They're all 16, 17 years old. They all make the choices that they want to make. So stop trying to blame my son. I love you. I'm going to get off the phone right now, and I forgive you. Click. Done. End of discussion. Because if I don't get off the phone, I knew I was going to lose it. Because I'm human, and I can only take so much. That's why we have to look to Jesus, is because we can only take so much, my brother and sister. There's only so much emotional pain that you and I can take. That's why God asks us to look to Him, because He knows how weak and fragile we are. We forget that He was in one of these bodies, yet He was perfect without sin. We forget that He walked on these very sandy beaches of the shore of Galilee. We forget that He had pressure come to Him, and He had sorrow when Lazarus died. But yet He was perfect without sin. Dealt with His emotions. Hey, He even got angry and braided up a whip and kicked the money changers over in the temple. So it's okay to get mad. It's just not okay to cuss the person out. Boy, I'm getting Sister Pat tonight, I can tell. But God is faithful. And if we don't learn to look to Jesus, my brother and sister, we're all going to fall apart and be in a mental house. I'm being serious. If we don't learn to look to Jesus, we're going to be in a mental world somewhere, defeated, dejected, and robbed of our spiritual power and blessing because we haven't learned to look to Jesus. Brother Sean, how can you say that? Because I've seen it happen. Sheila Walsh was on the 700 Club. I'm not saying she didn't look to Jesus, but she found herself in a mental ward, in a mental hospital. This thing is real, my brother and sister. I encourage my wife all the time, honey, make sure you pray today. And I'm sure she thinks I harp on her and I probably get on her nerves. But it's because I love her and I care about her and I am responsible for her spiritual growth. That's my first disciple. And I didn't realize that till Brother Doug said something one day and I got convicted. Oh yes, even I get convicted. And he said something to the effect that your wife should be your first disciple. And I personally never saw it that way. And I had to get in my car. I left church, got in the car, and said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. And I told my wife about it, and I apologized to my wife because I said, so if I'm going to be your mentor, because I believe what the Bible says, the older women are supposed to teach the younger women, so I kind of just attributed the older women to teach the younger women. But you know what? The older women are to teach the younger women, and husbands are responsible for their home, their wives, and their children. So I began to do some research and some study, and I'm getting whipped every day. I do some research and some study, but it's okay because God is faithful. There are things that we have all gone through, and there are things my wife and I have gone through, and I just told her the other day, I said, there are things we've gone through, honey, because I believe that there are going to be people come to the church with situations and problems just that we had, and we're going to be able to tell them, you know what? It was hard. It was indifferent. It was difficult, but God was faithful. God delivered us, and God healed us, and God brought us through. Amen. That's why sometimes we go through some of the trials that we go through. It's because there's going to be somebody that needs to hear that we've gone through the trial in the situation that they're going through. Amen. You know, and another thing, when my wife and I first got married, and this is a shameful thing that I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it because it needs to be said. When we first got married, I didn't have anybody tell us that God would provide, that God would meet our needs. I had people actually trying to discourage my wife and I to get married, not to get married because she had two kids and because it was going to be difficult and where are we going to live and all this. And I said, you know what, I don't know where we're going to live, but I know that God sent her to me and I know that God sent me to her and God's going to make a way. And it would have been nice to have an elder in the church because this person that was telling me this was an elder. It would have been nice to have an elder in the church say, you know what, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be tough, but God is faithful. I didn't have that starting out in our marriage before we got married. We were still dating at the time. Didn't have that. And they thought they were looking out for me. And you know what? As I was musing on that the other day, that hurt me. Because I looked up to this person. They're supposed to be an elder. They're supposed to tell me that God is faithful, that God's going to make a way where there seems to be none. God parts Red Seas, but He can't help a young couple out when they first get married in marriage and meet their needs and provide for them. Hogwash, because He has. That's why we have to look to Jesus, because there are going to be people that let us down. There are going to be people that discourage us. I wish that this person would have said, you know, Sean, it's going to be difficult, but God is faithful and God's going to meet your needs. But they didn't say that. And as I was, I don't know why the Lord brought it back to my remembrance, probably for tonight's message, but He did. And as I was sharing it with my wife, I said, I don't know why an elder in the church didn't tell us that God's going to meet our needs. I said, it's a shameful thing, honey, that an elder didn't tell the elder that tried to discourage me from marrying you because you had two kids didn't tell me that God would meet our needs and God would provide for us. Brother Sean, you mean that actually happened? Yes, it did. I hate to say it, but it did. So you're not looking at somebody who don't deal with things and don't have to deal with hurts. When this person told me this, I said, you know what? I need to go. I need to get off the phone. And I had to go to God and pray. And I had to hear a word from the Lord. And I heard a word from the Lord in my heart. And I said, okay, Lord, I've got your word on it. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. That's one thing about me. When I get the word of the Lord, it doesn't matter what anybody else says or does or doesn't do. When the Lord told me to marry that woman sitting right back there, I knew that it was God's will. Despite all the trouble, despite all the things how we started out living in government-funded apartments, but you know what? It's okay because God still provided. And we're still together, not because I'm so perfect and Mr. Prince Charming or because she's Cinderella, but because God's grace has touched our marriage. And because we're learning to look to Jesus together and separately. Not because we're so perfect that in everything so grand and glorious. We do have a good marriage. We also have an enemy that fights our marriage. We also have an enemy that would love to see our marriage destroyed. But we've determined, and she's determined and I'm determined, that we're going to serve God no matter what. No matter how hot it gets or how heavy it gets or the trials, we're going to serve God. And we're going to love each other no matter what. And we're learning to just walk away from certain conversations and don't even address certain things because it doesn't profit anything. And I'm learning that. I'm the one that kind of likes to deal with situations and, okay, what's the matter with you? What's bothering you? And try to fix everything. And the Lord said, why don't you just shut up and let me fix her? Okay, Dad. I'm going to walk away now. And that's how he talks to me. I don't know how he talks to you, but sometimes the Lord gets right hot and heavy and gets down to the nitty gritty. And you know, it's not easy being a husband and having to be patient for your wife. All you husbands in the audience. As we're the one that's supposed to love the weaker vessel. Because our wives deal with other things that we have no idea how to deal with. Emotions and all that stuff. But God is faithful and loves each and every woman that's in this room. And wants to help each and every woman with every emotional pain problem that you might go through. Questions that you wonder, when's God going to come through? I'm telling you, just keep looking to Jesus. Because he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. I believe God's going to heal your daughter. I don't know when, I don't know the hour, and I don't know the time. But I personally believe God's still in the healing business, and God can heal Kirsten. Amen. That's what I believe, because that's what the Bible says. Hasn't happened yet, but it doesn't matter to me, because God is still faithful. Well, Brother Sean, when? I don't have the answer, but I know who does. And if we all as a church just look to him, he'll answer. And that right early. But that's why we've got to look to Jesus. And I had to learn that as a young man, to look to Jesus. I remember when I first came back to the Lord, there were people that did not like some of the things I would talk about being on fire for Jesus, about not watching certain movies, about not sipping alcohol or drinking wine. You know what? Nobody gave me that. God put that in my spirit. My parents didn't. As I got alone, as a matter of fact, I was in Lakeland at my best friend's house. This is the honest to God's truth. Him and another buddy are in the next room watching a porno. I'm in the bedroom with my Bible. I'm with my Bible. I'm reading my Bible. I'm seeking God because I just got saved. They're in there doing all kinds of things. And the Lord said, the Lord began to deal with me on things. And then I got up and I left and I came back to Tampa because I'm not going to submit myself to that. I'm just being honest. When you get saved, enemy's going to do everything he can to try to hinder you and try to stop you and all this. But I was determined. I'd had all the alcohol and all the drugs that I needed to have. And when I got saved, I got saved. Jesus fulfilled my life. When old things passed away and all things have become new. That's the only salvation that I know. I don't know the salvations where you get saved and you still have problems with cigarettes and you still have problems with that. And I'm not saying people don't, but what I am saying is God's big enough to deliver cocaine addicts and alcoholism. He's big enough to take care of nicotine or anything. Old things pass away and all things become new. You get a new heart. You get a new pair of eyes. You get a set of new ears when you get saved. It's an amazing thing that when you look to Jesus, how everything looks different. There's a twinkle in your eye when you look to Jesus. You're filled with hope. Everything's not glim and everything's not ho-hum and everything doesn't look dark. When you look to Jesus, there's hope. Because he's full of hope. He's full of life. He is the life giver. Jesus is the life giver. And if we as Christians can learn to look to him and learn that we can't make it without looking to him, God, not that he doesn't take care of us, but he will be able to take care of us even better because we position ourselves because we're looking to him. See, we're the ones that get out of sync with God. God never gets out of sync. It's like, you know, up in Georgia and those places, that, you know, game time is halftime for some schools. like Georgia Tech. Their big thing's not their football team, it's their band. And their band has to be in sync. They've got to hit every step precisely and accurately because they have band competitions. And when they get into those band competitions, they practice. And when they practice, and if one person gets out of sync, God, band director is going to eat them alive. God doesn't eat us alive. He just can't bless us and nurture us and take care of us the way he wants to because we get out of sync with him because we're not looking to him. When we're in sync with God, isn't it amazing how we have joy and peace and hope? It's when we get out of sync and we're like, oh, I just don't know how I'm going to make it. We're not looking to Jesus. We're not considering him that hung upon the cross. When I'm looking at him on the cross, my problems seem to dissipate and disappear. It's not that they're not there. It's when he's on the cross, I've still got my problems, but I want to forget about my problems because he's on the cross. I'm focused. I'm looking away from my problems to look to him on the cross because he died for me. He bled for me. He hung there so that I could have eternal life and you could have eternal life. And it's that eternal life that is so precious. We're going to live forever somewhere. Whether it's heaven or whether it's hell, we're going to live forever somewhere. And you need to learn, and I need to learn, to look to Jesus for every situation, problem, circumstance that comes into our life. We need to learn to look to Jesus. He is the author of our life. He is also the finisher of our life. He began the work inside you and inside me. And he's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Sometimes you just need to not say anything and come, bow, you sit on the floor and say, Lord, I just surrender. And raise your hands and say, Lord, I surrender. I can't go another minute without surrendering. It's in that surrendering. You may not say another thing, but it's in that surrendering that allows God to say, okay, now I can move. Now I can speak to their heart because now they'll listen. We get distracted and we're going here and we're going there and we wonder where God's at, but we haven't stopped to listen because we're too distracted. Elijah was used to the fire of God, but it was in the still small voice that he had to listen to. And we as Christians need to learn to listen to that inner voice that comes from God. That's not always in the thunder and in the lightning or in the dancing or in the shouting. And believe me, I'm not against any of these things. I love to dance. I love to shout. I love to praise God. But it's in that looking and listening to that still small voice that's on the inside that says, I want you to sit here for 5 minutes. And we may not know why God wants us to sit there for 5 minutes. May not have any clue why God wants us to sit there for 5 minutes. May be an accident down the road that's fixing to happen. You don't know. But God does. And if he takes care of the birds of the field, birds of the air and the lilies of the field, he wants to take care of you and he wants to take care of me. And it's time that we let him, church. It's time that we let God take care of us. Would you please stand? Thank you, Father. God is good. God is good. I hope this message has touched you because it touches me because there are things in my life I have to look to God for answers, for peace. I don't have all the answers, but he does. And I've got to look to him. You've got to look to him. And together we look to him, we're going to see revival. We're going to see our loved ones saved. as long as we keep looking and believing, we're going to see everything that God wants us to see and have. Problem is, we need to make sure we're positioned correctly. We need to make sure we're positioned correctly. Brother, just give us some worship. Just look to Jesus. Look to your Lord. Look to your Savior. He'll be the best friend you could ever have. If you didn't have the greatest father, He'll be a wonderful father to you.